Hi, my name's Paul Copeland. 30 years ago tonight, Eddie Nalon committed suicide in a segregation cell at Millhaven Penitentiary. 2 days after Eddie Nalon died, and he was serving a life sentence for murder. 2 days after he died, I received a letter from him that he had written the night he killed himself. I was working with a number of lawyers at the time, and we were doing work in Millhaven and in some of the other penitentiaries. And what Eddie Nalon said was that he understood I was doing work for prisoners, and understood that I was a help for him, and that things were really awful for him in the institution. And I got that letter. It's quite a shock, obviously. And what we decided to do was we decided to try and participate in the inquest at Millhaven Penitentiary into his death. So the inmates on the range that he was on retained me to act for them at the inquest. And I showed up at the inquest in Napanee and applied for standing on behalf of the inmates on the range. The coroner refused standing to the inmates. He said they didn't have a specific interest in the inquest. And so we went off to the divisional court. We got his decision overturned. We came back to the inquest with the same coroner, applied for standing again on behalf of the inmates. He again refused us standing. And at that point, I stood up and I said, I'm also acting for the mother of Eddie Nalon, and I'd like standing. So we got to participate in the inquest. And let me tell you what came out of the inquest. Eddie Nalon was doing life at Millhaven. He was on a range in Millhaven that he didn't want to be on. He talked to his classification officer and said, how do I get to another range? And they said, there's no way to get to another range. He said, well, I don't want to be on this range. They said, the only way to get off that range is to refuse to work. If you refuse to work, you'll be put in segregation under prison PSR 230, I can't even remember what it stands for. You'll be put in segregation. Eventually, you'll go to the Segregation Review Board. When you come out of segregation, you'll be put on a new range. So Eddie Nalon said to him, said, I refuse to work. They put him in segregation. Every Tuesday, the Segregation Review Board met at Millhaven at that time. The first Tuesday came and went. They didn't get to Eddie's case, and they didn't notify him about the case or about any decision. The second Tuesday came, they dealt with his case, they decided to release him from segregation, but they didn't bother to tell him. That night he killed himself. What we found at the inquest was a number of things. One, we found the circumstances in which he felt compelled to kill himself because of how he's being treated in the institution. The other thing we found was that each of the prisoner's cells had a panic button in them so that if there was something going wrong, you could push the panic button and the guards would come down to your cell. As well, in each range of cells, there was a punch clock at the end, and the guards had to punch into the punch clock, which proved that they actually walked down the range and checked the 30 people in the range. The panic buttons in the cells didn't work. The punch clocks in the range didn't work, and they had both been destroyed by the guards so that they didn't have to go down the range and they didn't have to respond to the inmates calling for help. The inmates on the range that night knew something was going on with Eddie. They tried to call for help. Nobody came, and he died. The coroner's jury made a number of very positive recommendations at that time. They recommended that the punch clocks actually be working. They made a recommendation that the panic buttons be working. 2 years later, I did another inquest at Millhaven for a guy named Bobby Landers, and I can tell you that the punch clocks weren't working and the panic buttons weren't working. The first year of sort of a prison justice day happened at Millhaven Penitentiary. 1 year after the death of Eddie Nalon, some of the guys in the institution decided that they should spend a week where they don't work. And so they decided, basically for everybody else in the institution, that nobody was going to work that week. And it took a little persuasion from some of the inmates, but they managed to do it. And as the years went on, there were attempts made to inform inmates in other institutions of Prison Justice Day. And it got quite effective in spreading the word. One of the years, and it's probably about 4 or 5 years after the death of Eddie Nalon, we were working at that point, myself and some other lawyers, we're working with something called the Prison Justice Committee, Prison Union Committee, I'm sorry. Prisoners Union Committee, let's get it correct. And we sent some messages to the number of the institutions, to Dorchester, to BC Penn, to some of the other maximum security institutions. And in one of those years, as I say, 4 or 5 years later, they were a little more enthusiastic about Prison Justice Day. They trashed the BC Penn. They trashed Millhaven. Millhaven reopened, the BC Penn never reopened. I'm really pleased to see how many people are here today and supporting Prison Justice Day. But try and remember the history of Eddie Nalon, and try and remember the history of the struggle that's gone on by the inmates in the institutions to commemorate this day, as well as the struggle done by the people who've organized this event. Thanks very much.